It's a joy to see you here in the house of the Lord. Pray that God would do in these days what He desires to do, that His will would be accomplished in each of us, that His will would be accomplished in each of us. God has a will for every child of God. Satan has a will for every child of God. And the will of Satan is that the child of God be out of the will of God. And he knows if he can get you out of God's will, that he can have his will with you. And that is correct. So pray that God would have his will and his way into each of us individually. Notice, if you will, in Luke chapter 17 and in verse number 1. Then said he unto the disciples, It is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And then we don't need to add there, keep on bringing it up to everybody that you meet. That's not there. It ain't there. It stops there. Forgive him. Then it says in verse 4, And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, Increase our faith. They said, Lord, if we're going to be in this business of forgiving, and then forgiving somebody 7 times in a day, you're going to have to do something with what we're operating in. Yeah. You're going to have to do something to our faith. And they're asking, now watch this. They are asking the Lord to increase their faith. Now they think, Lord, I'm going to have more faith if this Christian walk and life is, if I'm called upon to do above what I'm normally active in doing. You're going to have to do something to my faith. They said, increase our faith. Now I've heard message after message and songs about how the Lord increased their faith. But He didn't. They asked Him to, but He didn't. Now look at this. Watch now when the Lord helped me with this truth, it settled a lot of things in my soul. They said, Lord, increase our faith. In other words, do something with us. Make it bigger than what it is. Give us more than what we've got. Look what Jesus did. He did not increase their faith. Verse number 6, And the Lord said, If you had faith, as a grain of mustard seed. Now that ain't much. They said, Lord, we need more. He said, all you need is just faith. He said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Now, all they're wanting is enough faith to be able to forgive somebody. And they're saying they need their faith increased or made larger so that they'd be able to do that. But Jesus said, if you've got faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can do much more than what you're asking faith to do. You'll be able to do much more. You could say to this sycamine tree, Be thou planted into the sea. Just not cast in the sea, planted in the sea. He said, and it would obey you. Now, my question tonight is, do we need more faith? Or do we just need to put to practice what faith we've got? Now, see, a lot of times we limit God on our faith. And we say we can't have because our faith's too small. The Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, that's all you need to get done what you need done. You see, we're trying to teach people to have faith in faith. But you don't have faith in faith. We have faith in the God of our faith. And if my faith is very small, that don't do a thing for my great, that don't do anything against my great big God. Amen. Praise God. I'm glad that our faith is in God. My faith is not in my faith. My faith is in the God of my faith. Now, that's a great truth right there. I want to preach tonight on this subject. If you have faith. If you have faith. Let's ask God to help us, Father. Thank you for the privilege to gather tonight in the house of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your kindness, your mercy, all that you are to us. Thank you, Lord, for the good singing by the congregation and the good singing by the choir and the good singing, the good specials tonight. Thank you for the good presence of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I don't have any idea at what all you've been doing, but I do sense that there's a measure of the liberty and the good presence of God in our midst tonight. And Lord, while you have assigned us this word, only you know. And I pray now that your will would be accomplished. I'm going to ask for these days that we have together that you would arrange the atmosphere of every service as you would so design, and that every heart could be ministered to by the Holy Ghost. And then for those in our midst that are unsaved, I pray you may bring them unto the acknowledgement of yourself by the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. And for whatever is accomplished, you will receive the glory for it. For it's in Jesus' wonderful and precious name we pray. Amen. Now, if you will, please, back up with me to Matthew chapter number 17. Of course, Jesus now has been upon the Mount of Transfiguration. He's had with him Peter, James, and John, and met with Moses and Elijah and the Father upon the Mount. What a good place that would have been. Amen. But I find now that they're exiting back down off of the mountain. And there's a little crowd of folk that's gathered together down at the foot of the mountain. And there's a man there that has brought his son. And he's trying to get those other disciples that were left there to cast the devil out of his son. He said, my son is a lunatic, and I need the Lord to do something with him. And then those disciples were not able. But Jesus had no problem doing it. Amen. And then the Bible says, in verse number 19, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Jesus said unto him, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Now there it is again. There's that mustard seed faith. If you'll notice this, it's two completely different times. He's teaching his disciples two different times, months apart. And he gives them the same analogy. He said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, he said, there ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place,
and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now hear what I'm saying. You see, we find in this day that we're trying to muster up enough faith or enough feeling to get God to move in our direction. But He's just saying, if you've just got faith, that's all you need. Hallelujah. It ain't you that's doing it anyway. It's me that's doing it. I'm the one that's doing it. See, we talk about what a man of faith or what a woman of faith. When you find that, you find glory and honor given to the faith of that individual. And God is way back here in the background. He's saying, now wait a minute, folks. Wait a minute. It ain't their faith. It ain't his faith. It ain't her faith. He said, you gotta see me. I'm the one that's doing it. All you need is a mustard seed faith. All you need is enough, just like a grain of mustard seed. That's all you need. There's some of you in here tonight could really be used of God if you can understand that it ain't you that's going to do it anyway. It's God that does it. Jesus is trying to teach His disciples, you don't need any more faith than what you've got. All you need to do is put to practice what faith you do have. Let me ask you a question. Are you saved tonight? Are you saved by the grace of God? Hallelujah. Then you don't need no more faith to do what needs to be done. You just need to put your faith and trust in the God of glory. Whether it's just a little bitty bit of faith, that's all that matters. It's a great big God that gets the job done. Now, notice if you take a note, put this down. The powerlessness of the servants. They said, Lord, why couldn't we cast them out? Well, the reason for their powerlessness was they figured there's something wrong with their faith. But the reasoning for their powerlessness was they needed more faith. But Jesus says, you don't need me to do any more with your faith. You just need to have faith as a grain of mustard seed. That's the point I'm trying to drive home tonight. Now listen to me carefully. You say, preacher, what in the world is he talking about? Well, you take a grain of mustard seed and a speck of dust. Now, it didn't say a mustard seed. It said a grain of mustard seed. Now, mustard seed is very small. But it's made up of many grains. And the grain is much smaller than the mustard seed, which is the smallest of the seed. But the grain is smaller than the seed itself. You see, you take a grain of mustard seed, and you take a speck of dust, and you lay them both in your hand, and you can't tell them apart by looking at them. See, you and I are made out of dirt. You take what we're made out of and put it in with by a grain of mustard seed and you can't tell the difference. But there is a difference. What is the difference, preacher? That speck of dust don't have no life in it. You plant it. You plant that speck of dust. And it won't come up because it's just dirt. Glory to God, you plant that little bitty grain of mustard seed. You may even forget about where you planted it. You may not even know where it's at, but hallelujah, after a while, under the right conditions, that mustard seed will start coming up out of the ground. Praise be unto God. I'm telling you, friend, the mustard seed has got life in it. It's got real life in it. Let me say it again. The mustard seed has got real life in it. Real life. Woo! See, when my unsaved condition, I had life, but I didn't have real life. I had life that would allow me to die and been gone. But oh, praise God, when I met the Lord, Brother Tom, when I met the Lord, He gave me real life. Now I want to say to you, in every one of us, if you're saved, from the largest to the smallest, from the youngest to the elderliest, it doesn't make any difference. If you're saved by the grace of God, you've got enough faith in you to do whatever it is God wants you to do. You don't have to have a lot of faith. Just have to know you got a big God. Now, I see here the powerlessness of the servants. Number two, the proclamation of the Savior. He said, it's not the quantity of your faith. It ain't how much you got. But it's the quality of your faith. It's how real it is. Praise God. For years I struggled with Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20, where Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the faith which I now live in the flesh, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now what in the world is He saying? Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. I died. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. It ain't me. Hallelujah. Yet not I. But it's Christ which liveth in me. Let me say something to you, friend. Mustard seed faith brought the life of Christ into your soul. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Not by my faith, but by His faith. Hallelujah. By the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now, we'll give you the last point. Here's where I want to get to. We not only see the powerlessness of the servants and the proclamation of the Savior, but I see, said thirdly, the process of the seed. When He said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, what was He talking about? What was He dealing with? What's He saying there? What's in that seed? If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, go with me, please, to John 12. And He explains it here in verse number 25. John 12, verse number 25. Now, in this text, it talks about a seed of corn. But it doesn't matter what seed it is, it's any seed. Any seed that you plant, any seed has got to go through this same process. And the mustard seed that He's talking about in us has got to go through this same process. Hallelujah. That mustard seed that He planted in you, that whenever He saved you by His grace, that mustard seed faith that He put in you must go through the process that He explained in John 12, 25. Look at it carefully. Look at it carefully. John 12, 25. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Praise God, there's the process of the seed. Now when Jesus said, if you had faith as the grain of mustard seed, He said you got to understand the seed. See what He was telling? He could have said corn seed. He could have said watermelon seed. He could have said any kind of seed. But the reason that He said mustard seed is to help us to understand that it's not in us. The smallest of the seed. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, He could have mentioned any seed. But the reason He referred to it is to help us to understand it ain't the bigness of your faith. It's what's in you. Now, if y'all ain't getting this, we'll close out now. Listen to me very carefully. So many times, we're trying to cultivate our faith. We're trying to grow our faith. We're trying to increase our faith instead of glorying in God. And we're wasting all of our time doing it. See, that's where these health and wealth preachers come from. They say that because your faith is messed up, it's why that you're in the shape that you're in if you're in bad shape. They say if you have enough faith, all of these other things won't come your way. I'm telling you, friend, they're as mixed up as they can be. Jesus Himself said, you don't need no more faith. If you've just got enough that I've given you, that's all you need. Hallelujah. Now, what is the process of the seed? First of all, there's contact. What do you mean, preacher? That seed has got to come in contact with something other than itself. Listen to me very carefully. That corn seed, that mustard seed, listen carefully. It's got life in it to produce. That corn seed has got life in it to produce. Just like we that are saved, we've got life in us to be productive. But just having life in you don't make you productive. That corn of seed has got life in it, but it's not productive until it comes in contact with something outside itself.
That's good.
Now watch this. You take a bag of seed and you put it up on the shelf. It don't matter how pretty they are. It don't matter how much potential they've got. It doesn't make any difference how big a harvest you could reap from them. If they stay in the bag on the shelf, that's as far as they'll ever go. I've seen them. You saw them. I see them in the bag on the shelf talking about what all they're going to do. I've seen them sitting on the shelf in their bag and they're saying, man, aren't we something? Look at us. Don't we all look alike? We must be of the same faith. Boy, don't we all believe alike? Don't we all act alike? Aren't we something? And they would say about somebody else, if you're not just like me, if you don't act just like we do, if you don't look just like us, you can't do anything. But until you get out of that bag and get alone by yourself, you'll never accomplish anything. They have their own little meetings in the bag. And they talk about all the good that they're doing. And there's not one thing being accomplished. They're all alike. They all look alike. They all act alike. They all smell alike. They all talk alike. But they never do no more than that. There they are on the shelf. In the bag, and a whole bunch of them with potential, but they're too big in themselves to ever bring forth a harvest. Mm-mm-mm. There's got to come contact. I see God. Or let's just say the farmer, the husbandman who is our Heavenly Father. I see him go over and reach in the bag and get one. Hallelujah. Well, as soon as that one separates from the rest of them, they blackball him. Well, I knew he wouldn't be no count. I knew he wouldn't last long. I knew since he separated from the camp, why, there's no way. Without us, he ain't going to make it. I don't know how he'll ever make it of separating from us. My goodness, look at us. Look at what all we've got here. I don't know how he's going to make it. And I hear him calling up one another. Say, well, I knew he'd be done for. He's about done for. And I see the Lord get one of them and take it out, and it disappears. It disappears. They don't know where it went. Matter of fact, those over in the bags already forgotten about it. They've already decided they didn't need him anyway. And he's disappeared. And he's got out of sight of men. Y'all listening? And he's gotten out of sight of men. You can walk on him or whatever. He's out of sight. How many of you are gardeners? You plant a garden. Surely up here in Rogersville, Brother Tom, I'm glad to see you. Raise your hand. I got mine up too. Praise God. You got a garden? What's the matter with you? Just eating off everybody else. Praise God. I love to raise a garden. But listen to me. Did you know that every spring when you dig those rows, you're digging graves? You're digging graves. Maybe it's a long graveyard, maybe it ain't so long, but whatever. You're digging graves. And you're dropping seed in those graves. And you're covering it up. That's why Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. You drop it in a grave and it covers up. Down in that grave, there's something going on. See, there's contact and then there's consecration. Isolated. Away from everybody and everything. There it is. Losing all of its ability. It's not out now trying to kick all the doors open to make a name for itself. It's outside. Nobody knows. Nobody even cares. But there's something going on down there out of sight. I see then crucifixion. I hear Father Nature, not Mother Nature. Don't ever call it Mother Nature. It's Father God. I hear nature as it knocks on that little seed's door. And nature says, I'd like to come in. And the seed says, well, if you'd have came by a week or so ago, I was in good shape. Boy, I looked good. I felt good. I feel like I could have really done something. But now you, and the nature says, I come by then and just couldn't get in. You just couldn't get in. You're too full of yourself. Just couldn't get in. And the little seed says, sir, I've died. Now I'm dead now. I don't have no ability in myself except the corn of wheat fall in the ground and die. Even if it gets alone, if it don't die, it'll never bring forth. But it's got to die. And I can see nature now as it says to that little seed, I've been waiting on you to get here. I've been waiting on you to die. I've been waiting on you to realize you can't do it. I've been waiting on you to get rid of yourself. I've been waiting on you to understand that you're just rotten inside. I've been just trying to get you to understand that you can't do it. I've been waiting on you to get here. Now, if you'll allow me, I'll move in. And boy, I can see the little seed as it says to nature, well, if you could do anything with this, just come on in. Now, I'm not talking about getting saved. I'm talking about getting full of God. That's a lot of people saved. That's still in the bag. I'm talking about getting useful. I'm talking about getting to where God can do something with you and for you and in you and through you. I'm talking about God doing it. And the seed says, well, if you can use this helpless mess, come on in. And then I see nature move in and take over. The little seed loses all of its ability to a power greater than it. Ooh. Then out of that hard ground, bam, there come a little sprout. All of a sudden, those that never did testify anymore, all of a sudden they got a little something to say, and it ain't about them no more. All of a sudden there comes a little shoot up out of the ground. Now you can't, it don't have no way to make no bread yet. You can't make bread out of it right yet, but it's headed there. It don't have no corn on it yet. You can't use it much yet, but you sure can hoe around it and cultivate it. Get the weeds out from around it. There's something blessed going on. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, there it comes. And those over there in the bag are saying, well, I wonder what that is. Well, that sure don't look like us. No, it's where they used to be. It's why they are where they are. But they don't understand it. Somebody back yonder years ago had to die. Amen. Amen. Before they could ever become what they were. Somebody had to die back yonder. And I'm telling you, on that old rugged cross, there the Lord Jesus Christ gave His life that we wouldn't have to stay on the shelf in a bag. But He died that you and I could have life and have it more abundantly. Watch it, that we could have life and then have it more abundantly. So you can have life without having abundantly. You can have the life of God without having it abundantly. But if you want abundant life, that's when that gets in you is bigger than you. Now you're nothing. And He's everything. You've died to your own desires and your own self. You don't have nothing concerning yourself anymore. And all of a sudden, up from the ground comes a brand new growth. And before you know it, on that one stalk is more. On that one stalk is more than what's in the bag on the shelf. Hey, if they could just understand, if every one of them could be planted, look what they could do. But they can't get over how good that they are. And how blessed they are. And here's one that's died to himself. And now there's the power of another in him. In her. And now there's a harvest to come. You gotta die You got to die. Your wishes and your desires has got to be put away. You got to die, sir. Young man, you're in here. And you feel like God's got His hand on you. You got to die. Preacher, we got to die. Oh, hear me well. We got to die. I really believe the reason that we're in the shape we are across our nation spiritually is because we got too much of the work of God going on without God in the work.
Say that again.
We got too much of the work of God going on without God doing the work. Everybody has so abilitated themselves that now whether God moves or not, it don't matter. They can do it. I'm glad you got a man of God over here that realizes that it's if God don't do it, it don't get done. But if God does do it, then it'll really get done. Y'all understanding anything that I'm preaching? Hey, we got to die. We got to die. You know you can't hardly make a dead man mad. Let's take Lazarus, for instance. Over there in John 11, he died. He died. You could go up to him and tell him, that was the office mess he made Sunday. He don't care. He's dead. It's not going to affect him. He's not going to change his expression. You could tell him what a good job he did. It don't bother him. He's dead. Boy, brother Lazarus, man, you look awful. He don't care. Boy, if I couldn't beat what you're doing. He don't care. You can scream at him. You can curse him. You can holler at him. You can kick him. You can slap him. It ain't going to affect him. He's dead. I'm going to tell you right now, I'd do more for the Lord if it wasn't for so-and-so. You need to die, ma'am. You need to die, sir. Too much of the work of God been going on, been carried out with the ability of man. You got to die. Listen to me very carefully here. Everybody around can talk about Lazarus. He's not going to respond. The only voice he can hear is the voice of the Lord.
Amen.
Did you get that? The only voice he can hear is the voice of the Lord.
Amen.
What about that?
And the only thing that's going to bring him up is the voice of the Lord.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what everybody else says. Boy, I really believe that there's potential in these last days. There's potential for real old time Holy Ghost move of God. The reason it is there's a handful of folk around the country that's sick and tired of man doing it his way. There's not many. There's not many of us. There's not many. There's a handful. I can assure you this, and I'm not picking on nobody. Everybody in here tonight ain't ready for real revival.
That's the truth, brother.
But if there could be a handful,
listen.
A handful, then it grows. And then it becomes two handfuls. And before you know it, you've got a group of folk that want God more than they want anything else. Listen to me carefully. I'm not a prophet, neither son of a prophet. Now, normally don't ever mention this. But on March the 2nd this year, we began a meeting over in Kings Mountain, North Carolina. March the 2nd, we had scheduled Sunday morning through Wednesday night. By Tuesday night of that first week, I knew this wasn't the average meeting. God began to move. Power of God began to move in a way that I've never saw before. We went until March the 26th. 3.5 weeks. As far as I know, there was 117 saved. They say there's more. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I run into a group of folk that wanted God more than they wanted anything else. The first Sunday night, we went to the prayer room. There was about 20 men gathered. On Wednesday night of the last week, we had to change buildings. Over 150 men gathering in them rooms cried out to God. They had realized that God was doing it. They realized that man couldn't do it. Oh, Lord. It's God that does it. It's God that does it. Man can't do it. It's God that does it. If we'll get out of the way, God can do it. But we got to die. Well, I thought for sure they'd ask me to sing tonight. That's got to be gone. Well, I wonder why they didn't. I wonder why. All of that's gone. Our wishes and our plans and our programs is gone. And God's in the midst. Amen. See, God, I had another message that I thought God wanted me to bring. But all day today, God said, this is it. See, God's wanting us to understand that we've got to focus all of our attention. Brother Barry's already mentioned it. The choir director mentioned it. But we must do it. Focus all of our attention on Him. Could I say it respectively? When we were singing, "I Love You, Lord," so many were singing. Because that's what we were singing. But there could have been a handful in here that really was singing to Him. Are you understanding what I'm saying tonight? Folks, it's us individually. It's just not because the church is doing it. It's what I want in my soul. In my soul personally, God, it's what I want. It's what I want more than anything. I see these young'uns sitting around here. Oh, it's what I want more than anything. It's for God to show Himself real and marvelous. So these little old young'uns can know that there is a God in glory. And He's real. And it's just not superficial or artificial. He's a real God. It's got to be you individually then the Bible said there's conception bringeth forth, and then there's the consequences. Much fruit bringeth forth much fruit. If the corn of wheat will die, if the grain of mustard seed faith will go through that process, God will do something great. You notice what He didn't say? He didn't say if your faith was as the grains. Plural. But when He said grain, He's talking about every individual person. The grain of mustard seed. Where's God at in your life? Boy, I love it when our brother stood up and this sister who sang said, I couldn't hardly wait to get back. Couldn't hardly wait. That's wonderful. That's marvelous. That's great. And that, what a desire! But I want God. We got to have God. God. I'm done preaching. I wonder tonight if we could take a little trip down into our soul and see where the Lord's at in there. Is He on the throne? Or is He pushed off in a corner somewhere with all the other stuff? All the other mess that's in our lives. Where is the Lord in our soul personally? We've got to personally do business with the Lord. It's a personal matter. You know, God's saying to us, church, if you'll allow me, I can get done what needs to be done. But I do it through you. You say, preacher, I'm not a member here. I'm not a member here, but I want God to do something in my soul. Then the altars are open. The altars are open. Lord Jesus, as I bow in Your presence, thanking You, Lord, for the privilege You've given us together in the house of the Lord tonight. Lord, I'm assured as I am of anything that this is the Word You've given, that You want it given tonight. And I would ask You, oh Holy Ghost, if You would help us to understand the truth of it. And Lord, that You would help us to do business concerning this truth. Lord, it's not what we want, but it's who You are. Oh God, that we'd be satisfied with what You do. Oh Holy Ghost, help us. Thank You, Lord, for these that have come.
I pray, God, you would allow revival fires to burn in these days. That the power and the glory of God would be our portion. And Lord, that hearts would be turned to you fully and completely. And sinner people would come to know you as Lord and Savior. God, help us now. Work in every heart. May glory be given unto thy name. And Lord, we'll praise you and thank you for all that you do. For it's in your name we pray.